Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, and today's lesson follows immediately after last Sunday's lesson, the lesson for Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene having that encounter with the risen Jesus at the empty tomb. And so our scripture lesson today is set on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Day that night. It is the tradition in the church to stand out of respect for the gospel, and so if you're able, please stand. I want to mention, because I think it's important, that John has a habit of, when he refers to those responsible for seeing that Jesus died, referring to them as the Jews. And so we want to be very careful, especially since there was another attack in a synagogue just this week where another rabbi was shot. We want to be very, very careful when we read scripture, not to read it in a way that would lead us to think poorly of the Jewish nation, of the Jewish people, because you'll see the term in here, the Jews. He's referring to those Jews who were responsible for his death, not all Jews. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was born a Jew, lived a Jew, and died a Jew. This is the testimony given by John. I'm sorry, I was back at the prologue, which I'm going to read a bit later. Hold on one second. Here we go. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit and your word. Lord, help us to know not only on Easter morning, not only on the second Sunday of Easter, that your Son is risen, your Son is alive, and Lord, his resurrection is our resurrection, and that resurrection is resurrected life today. In Christ's name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. Not everything that happens in a 24-hour period in Evansville, or the Tri-State, or Boonville, or Dagoni Springs, not everything that happens makes it on the 6 o'clock news, right? Well, of course, that would refer to, there's just an awful lot of mundane things that happen. For instance, you brushing your teeth this morning does not really rise to the level of what's newsworthy, but I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about those things that are newsworthy. Not all of those things make it on the 6 o'clock news. When I talk to groups of students about the news process, I use this illustration. I say, If I have available to me, and our news department has available to me, information, happenings, events that would fill up this room, what makes it onto the 6 o'clock news would fit into the palm of my hand, right? All these other things are newsworthy, and a quick definition of what's newsworthy can be arrived at by asking two questions. Who really cares, and is it really important? Who really cares? The things that people are interested in, those are newsworthy. The second question, is it really important? The things that are important, either whether we're interested in them or not, those are newsworthy, and not everything that's newsworthy makes it into the 6 o'clock news. That's just the way it works. And John tells us this morning in the Gospel of John, in this passage, that not everything that Jesus did made it into his gospel. I love thinking about that. Don't you love wondering all the other wonderful things that Jesus did, those things that would have filled up this room that never made it into the gospel? But Jesus did plenty, right? He did a lot that is recorded in the Gospel of John. Verse 30 says that he did many other signs not recorded, but John did record 7 signs in the Gospel of John. The first one was when he turned water into wine at that wedding at Cana. He took that water for purification and transformed it into wine for celebration. An abundance of celebration and an abundance of wine. He healed the royal official's son. The boy was dying, and Jesus said, "Your boy's not going to die." And on his way home, he learned that that boy had not died. He was alive, and he checked his calendar, and he checked his watch, and it happened at the very moment that Jesus said it would happen. Jesus healed a paralytic, had been paralyzed for 38 years, and he restored him to full health. Jesus fed the 5,000, took those loaves and those fishes, that gift of that little boy, and he transformed that into a meal for 5,000 people. Again, abundance, a sign of God's abundance in Jesus Christ. Jesus walked on water. A sign that, yes, he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Jesus healed a blind man. And I love this story because they kept asking him, what did it happen? Who did this to you? He said, "I don't know. All I know is I was blind, and now I see." Jesus performing a sign to let us know who he is. And that 7th sign that happened not so long before Jesus' own crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. 7 signs to indicate who Jesus is. Jesus performed a lot of signs in the Gospel of John, but not every sign was it recorded. Not every sign that happened in the 33 years of Jesus' life, not every sign that happened in the 3 years of his ministry, not every sign that happened from the very beginning of time, not every sign that will happen until the very end of the age. And that covers the life of Jesus, the Word. Jesus, the Word. Have you ever read the prologue to the Gospel of John? It is some of the most beautiful prose and poetry ever written, and it describes who Jesus is. John 1 begins this way. It's John's creation story, the story of the new creation in Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe in him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, There was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is our Jesus, more than the Jesus who lived 33 years on the earth, more than the Jesus who taught for 3 years. This is the Jesus who was in the beginning with God, who is God in the flesh, who is the incarnate God. You know what I think happened in today's passage from John? I think this passage today leaves a placeholder for your story and for my story, for your sign and for my sign. Because this story is a story about life. It is a story about the risen life. Verse 31 says, "These things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through his name, through believing in him, you may have life in his name." That's why they were written, that we would believe. But not every story is written there. We've already established that. Your story hadn't been written. My story hadn't been written. But it is being written now. And there's a place for it that John leaves for us in this gospel passage today. You see, this passage, I believe, was actually written for you. And this passage was actually written for me. The Gospel of John was written probably in the 90s, much later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels. Much later. It's the much more spiritual gospel. It's the story of Jesus in all his fullness, that one who was with God from the beginning. And by the time John wrote it, and by the time people read it, none of those people, or very few of those people, would have seen Jesus. They wouldn't have had that experience that Thomas had of actually touching the hands and touching the side of Jesus and having it confirmed for him that it was true. None of them saw it. And that's why John says, in the words of Jesus, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, and that is you, and that is me." It is written in there for us. Our story is to be told in that empty space in the Gospel of John. John says, quoting Jesus, "We will have life in his name." Life in his name. In Greek, there are three words that are translated into English as life. There is psyche, and there is bios. Those two words, translated life, have to do with our physical life, our life that we share with the other animals and with the plants. But that's not the word that Jesus used. Jesus used the word Zoe. And Zoe is eternal life. And what Jesus was saying is that eternal life is not just something that we are going to get someday, far off into the future. That eternal life is available right now. It is available right now. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to get straight the difference between a couple of words. One is transactional and one is transformational. I grew up, and you probably grew up, with the idea that the cross and the resurrection was really a transaction performed by God through Jesus that secured our salvation, and that is true. But it is not the whole story. The story is that transformation, that life that is Zoe life, that is eternal life, that is not only unending life, it is a quality of life that we have available now. Because that's what Jesus is here to do, is to transform our lives. And what does that life look like? That life looks a lot like Jesus. And that life looks a lot like love. And that life comes to us by the Spirit. And that life results in the fruits of the Spirit now. Not someday. That life is available now. And that life is not pie in the sky. It's not puppies and butterflies. You know why it's not? Because this Jesus, who in this story makes his first appearance to his disciples, who is risen, but apparently and clearly has a new body because he came right through the walls, but yet he still had the scars of the crucifixion in his hands and in his side. He's the crucified and risen Jesus. The risen but still crucified Jesus. And so we, not expecting that everything's going to go perfectly in this risen, resurrected life, but no, even in our scars, even in our hurts, and even in our pains, Jesus is in it. He didn't bring it, but he is in it. And he transforms it into the risen life, into the resurrected life. Into the life of Jesus, which is available to you because it is the restoration of the life that God intended for you. That the image of God with which you were created can be there again, and Jesus can live through you, bringing that risen and resurrected life. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Easter morning, not just in the Easter season, but every day of our lives. That's good news. Amen. Amen.